Psalm chapter 2 tonight. That's where we're going to go in the Word of God. I guess, Brother Richard, when you put it up, or Brother Jim, you just call it Psalm chapter 2. I really don't have a title for it tonight, but I want to look at some things here tonight. I trust it'll be a blessing. The Word of God starts with the question, why? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. At first glance, you might think when it says his anointed, it might be talking about God's people. But actually, before we get through reading the psalm, you're going to understand that it's God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's being referred to as his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Look at that. And the Word of God said, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Now notice this statement. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. You want to know why I'm blessed tonight? It's because my trust is not in man. It's not in our military might. But my trust is in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for your people that have gathered here in the house of God. Lord, what you've put on my heart tonight, I believe, is needed. I don't question our Father because, Lord, really you begin to stir in my heart over a month ago in this chapter. But, Lord, tonight you want us to say some things, and I pray that, God, you would help us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of the living God. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Father, for our church. Lord, I can't wait till we could all get together again. I can't wait, Lord, until there's four lines going through the fellowship hall. And Lord, the fellowship just sweet. Lord, around a meal, around the altar, around the songs of Zion, around the preaching of thy word, around the visitation program. How sweet our Father, the fellowship has been in days gone by. And God, we're trusting you that it'll be sweet again very soon. I pray, dear Lord, that you would lead and guide and direct concerning the vaccine, concerning our Father, the safety measures that we need to take. I pray, God, you'd help us to use wisdom. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to see four things tonight in the chapter. The way the Lord laid it out in my heart and in my life. And I hope to be a blessing to you tonight. The Word of God begins in chapter number 2. I love Psalm chapter 1. Chapter 1 is just a wonderful chapter. I committed it to memory years ago. It talks about blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The Bible talks about him being like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither. God expects his children to bring forth fruit. I think one of the saddest things that we can get caught up in is thinking that God expects his children to produce fruit. There's a difference in producing fruit and bearing fruit. I think a lot of people want to try to make things happen, but God just wants us to walk with him, let his Holy Spirit live in us and flow through us and have an influence on other people's lives. Something I forgot to tell Brother Steve a while ago, Brother Larry's daughter called, Charlotte. She goes by Charlie, and she went to the doctor today. She's thrilled, Brother Steve. She's free of COVID, and the pneumonia is getting better. It's going in the right direction. And she said, God is hearing my prayer. And I thank God for that. I guess the reason that come to my mind is you never know what people are observing in your life when you're around them. You may only be around them 30 minutes through a surgery or an hour through a surgery, but you never know what people are absorbing. I want you to see, first of all tonight in the message, the defiance of the heathen. There's people here in this text, a lot of them, or most of them maybe, being referred to are leaders. And they are doing nothing other than defying the God of heaven. By the way, that's how all of our troubles started, when Lucifer stood up and defied the God of heaven. I'm going to exalt my throne. And we know how that ended up. Say amen. And when a man defies the God of heaven, we see the defiance of the heathen. The Bible said, why do the heathen rage? I'm going to give you something tonight. You don't have to believe me. Just watch for the next several months. Right now, things seem to be calming down in America. But you mark my word. Beloved, if the Marxists don't get what they want, they're not going to stop. Right now, or in recent months, it's been a battle of Democrats against Republicans. It's fixing to be a battle of Democrats against Democrats. You mark my word, beloved. Amen. There are some that are trying to hold on to a little bit of reason, and others want no part of it. Amen. They want to see us a socialist nation. And the Bible said, why do the heathen rage? I'll tell you why they rage. They rage because their ideology does not line up with the Word of God. Beloved, listen, this is the final authority. The Catholic Church would look to the priest for the final authority. But I'm telling you, beloved, we don't look to the priest or the preacher or the Pope. Say amen. We look to the Word of God because it is the final authority. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I thought about this as God spoke to my heart about this text. I think it's a vain thing to imagine that man can overthrow God. That is a vain thought. And beloved, listen, not only does a man get that in his heart and in his minds, but the Word of God said here, look in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. I guess they think if they gang up on God, they'll have a little better chance. Amen. How many knows how it's going to turn out? Glory to God in the end. Amen. I'm telling you, they're going to come from all over the world. And I'm telling you, out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. And the blood will flow as deep as a horse's bridle. And he'll never even have to raise a finger. Amen. Because he's God. And he's almighty God. He's all-powerful. It's a vain thing when man believes that they can overthrow or defeat the God of heaven. I believe, listen, in the Old Testament, over and over and over, there were nations, heathen nations. Now, there were times when God would use the heathen nation to chastise his own people. But, beloved, when his people were trusting him and walking with Him. Against insurmountable odds, God would win the victory in their favor. Amen. I'm glad, listen tonight, we're not victims. I'm glad we're victors because of Calvary. Amen. We have that precious victory tonight. I believe it's a vain thing. We see the defiance of the heathen when man thinks that they can overthrow or defeat God. Secondly, tonight, I believe it's a vain thing when man thinks that God is winking at sin. When man thinks that, well, listen, it really doesn't matter. After all, it's 2020, fixing to be 2021. I'm going to tell you this tonight. God is not winking at sin. The Word of God, if you go to Mars Hill in the book of Acts, they had their superscriptions to the unknown God, and the Apostle Paul preached to them. He said, the times of this ignorance God wants winked at. But, he said, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And beloved, listen, God is not winking at sin. It's amazing to me. I mean, listen, the news is disgusting. It's amazing to me, amen. Beloved, listen, that with the news media that we have today, it just all depends on which side the sin happens on. But I'm telling you, in God's economy, it doesn't matter which side the sin happens on. Nobody's getting by with it, amen? They're not getting by with cheating. They're not getting by with lying. They're not getting by with selling our country out. God is taking notes, amen? And God is not winking at sin. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that years and years ago in our country, we started on a downhill tread. Beloved, listen, with liquor. We started on a downhill tread with the sex culture. We started on a downhill tread with marijuana. We started on a downhill tread. Are you listening? When we legalized gambling in America. Say amen. I'm telling you, we started way down the hill when we started taking the little babies' lives. And I'm telling you, beloved, God is not winking at sin. And they imagine a vain thing. Beloved, they actually imagine that they're standing up for a woman when they're falling for the devil. That's exactly what they're doing. They're falling for the devil and the devices of the devil. It's a vain thing when we imagine, the heathen imagine, that God is winking at sin. Next, I wrote this down. It's a vain thing. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Beloved, listen, it's Christmas. And I know that, listen, there are families that I know of already that are not going to meet like they normally do. Now listen to me, everybody, listen, I'm going to just say this right here. Every church has to look to the pastor and look to the deacons to try to lead them through this mess, amen, of the way that God is leading. Every family has to be led, Brother Steve, the way that God is leading that family. That man will give an account for the family. The pastor will give an account for his people. For the church. I'm not going to criticize anybody. I'm just telling you this, beloved. It's not the same as it was a year ago. Amen. And hopefully, praise God, it can get back to the same if we live for another Christmas. But right now, beloved, listen, there is a danger lurking. Amen. And I believe to ignore it is no more than to take up a snake in our hand tonight. Amen. I'm not going to take it up. It might not kill me, but I really don't want to even go 6 months without tasting. I know a man that hasn't tasted anything since June. And all he's smelled since June is smoke. I'm not interested in that, amen? If I can get by with it, if I can use just a little bit of wisdom and get by with it. And I don't want you to have it, amen? But I believe with all of my heart, beloved, it's a vain thing to think, beloved, that you can have Christmas without Jesus. I believe we can have a good Christmas. Listen, listen, we've got our health. We've got our Lord. We've got people in our church. We've got friends. We've got family that care for us.
Well, just stop. We got something to eat. We got something to wear. I tell you, I went out today, just ran from the house up to the building. That rain was cold. I came in. I told my wife, I said, honey, I'd hate to be homeless today. It felt like that rain was penetrating all the way to your bones. Amen. But I thank God tonight we have a Savior and we can celebrate, amen, the birth of our Savior. It's a vain thing to believe that all religions point to God. There's a lot of people in the world like that. They believe all the steeples point up and all the religions point to God. I want you to know tonight that's a vain thing, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me give you this, and I'll move on to the second thing in the message tonight. I'm talking about the defiance of the heathen. The heathen nowadays don't even try to hide it. They're just openly defying. And by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm not saying this to hurt anybody's feelings. But even in our churches, even in our church world, there's people that don't believe marriage means anything. If you like somebody, move out and move in. I'm telling you, that's against the Word of God. I'm telling you, it's against the Word of God. And it's a vain thing to imagine that it doesn't matter to the God of heaven. It does matter to the God of heaven. Listen tonight, the last thing in this first little part of the message here. It's a vain thing to imagine that God judged other nations and He will not judge ours. Listen to me tonight. God is not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you heard what I just said? Now listen. This is my hope, Brother Steve. Before God rained judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, He had to get somebody out. Y'all remember the story, don't you? Lot, his wife, and his daughters. The sons-in-law, when they were told the story, judgment's coming, the Bible said he seemed to them as one that mocked. Lot was so worldly that he lost his influence. Oh, God help us. I'm telling you, God help us to live in such a way that we would lose our influence for God in our family, in our community, in our church. But God had to get Lot out before the judgment fell. My hope is that God will take the church out before the judgment falls. But it's a vain thing, Brother Grizzle, to think that God judged other nations and we're going to get by with it. We're not going to get by with it. By the way, beloved, I believe on 9/11 God sent a wake-up call. I believe in what we're going through right now that it's very possible. I'm not going to be dogmatic, but God again is trying to send a wake-up call. You got a big military. You got a big bank account. And this little bitty thing that you can't even see goes through the land. I'm telling you, beloved, it's a vain thing to think that God judged other nations and He will not judge our nation. I see the defiance of the heathen tonight. The second thing that I want you to see tonight is what I call the displeasure of the sovereign, or of the sovereign God, if you please. Notice what the Word of God said here. The Bible said that they're going to say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You see, the heathen think that you and I are tied up with Jesus, tied up with this Bible. Hallelujah. No, we got untied when we met Jesus. Say amen. He didn't tie us up. He set us free. Not to sin, but to serve Him. Amen. The Word of God said in verse 4, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I didn't read this the first time in the book of Psalms. The first time I read it was in the book of Proverbs. Turn there with me. I remember this. I don't know exactly where I was, but I remember how it was like it jumped off of the page at me. In Proverbs chapter number 1, the Word of God said in verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." I feel like that's where we're at. God is trying to get our attention and trying to help us. And yet the Word of God said here, "I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock." God is saying in so many words, you're mocking me now, but mark her down. The day's going to come. You're laughing now that I'm going to be doing the laughing and I'm going to be doing the mocking. God is displeased. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." Verse 27, "When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." You and I know, beloved, that there's a time in the great tribulation when it's going to be exactly like that again. They're going to pray, "Oh God, let the rocks, let them fall on me and hide me from the face of Almighty God." They're going to want to die and cannot die. God is displeased. Watch the displeasure here. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." Think about this tonight. I'll give you a way to live. There's a lot of young people here tonight. I'll give you a way to live that would take you right on through the gates of heaven if you just live to please the Lord. Now, living to please the Lord also means that I want to live in a way that I don't do, say, go, act in any way that displeases the Lord. Everything that I do, say, or think, help me tonight, either pleases my Lord or it displeases my Lord. He doesn't have any areas in the middle where he's saying, "Well, I'm trying to make up my mind if that pleases me or displeases me." I'm telling you, beloved, listen, with God, it's black and white. Amen. It's not several shadows of gray, but it's either right because it lines up with the book, or it's wrong because it's contrary to the book. Displeasure of the sovereign. What would happen in America? What would happen in local government? What would happen in Congress? What would happen in the Senate? If this question was asked, what we're about to do, ladies and gentlemen, would this please the Lord or would it displease the Lord? You say, "Preacher, you're living in a fairy tale land." I believe when America was founded, there was a lot of that went on. A lot of that went on. They were concerned about the Word of God. They were concerned out of love that God had placed in their heart. The Word of God said here, not only do we see the defiance of the heathen, but the displeasure of the sovereign. I'll say this to you tonight. Brother Ralph, Brother Houston, Brother Rick, Brother David's not here tonight, but our deacons, everything we do, that ought to be the bottom line. Does this please God? If we can do it and it pleases God, let's go for it. But if it's something that don't please God, let's leave it alone. Amen. I believe with all of my heart we see that displeasure in this text. Now notice this. I want you to see the decree of the Savior. The Word of God said here, our Father is going to decree concerning His Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill, a Zion." I tell you, Brother Steve, you made mention a while ago, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. When we do, we're actually praying for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I sat over there and I thought about this. I believe right now, and I thank God for what seems to have been accomplished in this last administration, much of it in the last 6 months, concerning peace in the Middle East. But here's something God's people better keep in the back of your mind. When they say peace and safety, do you remember what the Word of God said? Then come a sudden destruction as a travail upon a woman with child. And beloved, that woman goes for month after month after month after month. And all of a sudden, I remember one night, Miss Eve woke me up and said, I think it's time. I said, wake me up when you know it's time. The next thing I got was an elbow. I'm not sure if that rib made it or not, amen, but it's time. And we barely made it to the hospital. You get there and they're telling the woman, don't push, don't push, don't push. Doctor, here, don't push. I told the doctor, I said, I can catch a football. We had to pay you to do that. Amen. The travail comes suddenly. And I'm going to tell you how our Lord's coming. Suddenly. The world's not looking for Him, but you and I ought to be looking for Him. The Word of God said here, I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Here's the declaration, or the decree of the Savior. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my beloved Son. This day have I begotten Thee. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is the Creator. And God the Father is letting us know, beloved, that He has a Son. And we know His name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. His name is called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. His name is called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. I've said this to you before. Maybe somebody here tonight that didn't hear me say it. But before I ever got saved, Brother Steve, I knew there was something about that name. I'm being honest with you. I knew there was something about that name, the name of Jesus, the decree of the Savior. He said, ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now he said this, be wise now therefore, O ye kings. Wouldn't it be good if we had some wise kings? Wouldn't it be good if we had some people, the Word of God said here, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Wouldn't it be good if we had some people that were willing to receive instruction? What was it that the Bible said in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6? Get me started on it, somebody. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. There's a verse before that, isn't there? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thine own understanding. Is that the one that comes before or after? After? Before, okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I believe that's what the Lord would be pleased with. If we're wise, that's what we'll do. Then he said, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Listen, when a person's doing right, you don't have to run from Jesus. You can run to Him. You can fellowship with Him. Say amen. You don't have to hide. Adam looked forward to day after day walking with God and talking with God. But then that day came when he disobeyed God. And now he's hiding, trying to cover up. The Word of God said here, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. And the last thing in the message tonight is the deliverance of the saints. Listen, I've told you all along, and it's a God's honest truth, I am not afraid of what's going on. I'm not afraid of that. I mean, either God's going to deliver me from it, or He's going to deliver me through it. Can I tell you this? Either way, I win.
Either way, I can't lose. He's either going to deliver me from it, or he's going to deliver me through it. One way or the other, amen? Either way, I win. But I want to be extra careful. You say, preacher, why do you want to be so careful? Somebody sitting over there I love. There's a whole bunch of somebody sitting out here that I love. Say amen. And I want God to help us to use wisdom. The Word of God said, blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. If you're trusting Him tonight, would you raise your hand? Do you know what God just said? He said, Brother Gary, you're blessed. You're not just blessed because you have Miss Reba, but you're blessed because you put your trust in Him. Amen. Blessed. 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 The Bible talks about the deliverance of the saint. Over and over and over again in the Word of God, we believe that the flood is typical of Israel. God delivered Noah through the flood. Amen. We believe that Enoch is typical of the church. He was, and then he was not. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that God is going to deliver some people. The church is going to be delivered from the great tribulation. But there's going to be a multitude of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue that's going to be delivered through the great tribulation. You say, well, preacher, if I don't get it right before Jesus comes, I'll just hope and pray I can be delivered through. I wouldn't put my hope and prayer there. Because the Bible talks about Christ rejecting people in this generation. I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I believe it's chapter 2. That God is going to send strong delusion. And those that just skated through this walk of life and they lived in sin, they rebelled against God, they defied the God of heaven. The Bible said He's going to send strong delusion and they're going to believe a lie and they're going to be damned. All of them that had pleasure in unrighteousness. I tell you, beloved, it's a serious thing. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These people here, they weren't afraid, but the day will come when they're going to understand that it don't matter how many kings gangs up against Him, they're going to lose. He's always on the winning side. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.